Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
In our study of the Sermon on the Mount, we've made it to Matthew 6, verse 22, where Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, then, the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" In today's passage, Jesus is going to teach us how to have your whole body filled with light. Sounds wonderful, but what does it mean? Randy Alcorn has a great way of summing up the principle of verses 19 and 20, Matthew chapter 6. He says this: "Imagine you're alive at the end of the Civil War. You're living in the South, but you're a Northerner. You plan to move home as soon as the war is over. While in the South, you've accumulated lots of Confederate currency. Now suppose you know for a fact that the North is going to win the war and the end is imminent. What will you do with your Confederate currency? If you're smart, there's only one answer. You should immediately cash in your Confederate currency for U.S. currency, the only money that will have value once the war is over. Keep only enough Confederate currency to meet your short-term needs." Then he says this: "As a Christian, you have inside knowledge of an eventual worldwide upheaval caused by Christ's return. This is the ultimate insider's trading tip. Earth currency will become worthless when Christ returns, or when you die, whichever comes first." We've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount, and last week we began the section on righteousness, what righteousness in Christ's kingdom looks like when it comes to money and things and possessions, earthly treasures. And Jesus begins that section by alerting us to the fact that everything you have is about to become worthless once this war is over. 100% of your assets that are not converted into eternal currency will be lost. And so that becomes the first reason in this text why we should have nothing at all in our earthly treasury. Second reason is in verse 21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." And that really makes it a serious issue, because becoming a Christian is like getting married. It's an issue of the heart. Your heart belongs to God alone. And so giving your heart to anything in this world is a spiritual adultery, according to James 4. So, reason number one, don't put your treasure here because it'll be lost. Reason number two, don't put your treasure here because then your heart will be here, and that's a bad thing. Now, verses 22 and 23, Jesus is going to give us a third reason not to have our treasure on earth. And the third reason is this: you should not allow money or anything else in this world to become a treasure in your heart because of the disaster of a dark lamp. The disaster of a dark lamp. Verse 22. "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." Now, if you're like me, you read a passage like that and say, "What? What kind of random, out-of-the-blue statement is this? I thought we were talking about money and possessions and stuff and everything, and what does this have to do with that?" Is Jesus just abruptly changing the subject? You know, he does that sometimes. He's just moving on to a new topic here, talking about light and eyes and all that. No, I don't think so. It doesn't look like it, because the very next verse goes right back to talking about money and possessions, and he keeps on talking on that subject all the way through the end of the chapter. So what in the world do verses 22 and 23 mean? Eyes are the lamp of the body. Well, let's begin by making sure we see the main point so we don't lose the forest for the trees once we start digging into the details. I would venture that the main point of this of verses 22 and 23 is the first statement: the eyes are the lamp of the body. Okay, that's the first thing he says, and the whole rest of it is just expanding on that statement. So the main point that Jesus wants us to get from this text is that the eyes are the lamp of the body. And so the goal is to have good eyes so that your whole body is full of light. Whatever Jesus means by that, whatever the whole body being full of light means, I think we're safe to say that's a good thing, right? And the whole body being full of darkness, that's a bad thing. We don't want that. And what will make the difference between the two is your eyes. Your eyes, whatever Jesus means by that. So, what does it mean to have your body be full of light? Let's start there. What does that look like, to have your body full of light? Sounds to me like Jesus is using the word body here the same way he used it back in verse 29 of chapter 5 when he said, if your right eye causes you sin, gouge it out and throw it away, for it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now there, the body is that which will be thrown into hell for an unbeliever, so the body that then refers to your whole self. It's not just your physical part of you that's thrown into hell. Your whole self will be thrown into hell if you're an unbeliever, and so it means your whole self. And I don't see any reason to assume anything different here. What will be filled with light or filled with darkness here in this text is your whole being. Your whole being. It's not just your physical body. So what is the darkness, actually, and what is the light? The simplest answer to that question, what does the metaphor of light point to, would be perception. Very often in the Bible, having light in your eyes, anytime you see the word eyes connected with the word light, the idea is the ability to see, as opposed to if you don't have light in your eyes, then you're blind. Psalm 69:23, may their eyes be darkened so they cannot see. Or the other side, Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope that you've been called to. So it's talking about light in the eyes, talking about perception. The ability to see and perceive and understand. And darkened eyes refers to the inability to see and perceive and understand. However, Jesus' point here is not really about the eyes having light, but rather the body, the whole self, being filled with light by means of the eyes. So what does it mean for your whole self to be filled up with light? Most of the time in Scripture, that metaphor refers to spiritual life from God. Light in the body, light in yourself, refers to life. Psalm 13:3. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. So there, light represents life. Life is the opposite of death and living is the opposite of dying. And so it's life. And life in Scripture, you need to understand, is a lot more than just having a pulse. You know, it's a lot more than just not being dead. The word life in the Bible always gathers in all of the various components of life, like health and strength and fullness and energy and insight and hope and especially joy. All the components of healthy life. The sorts of things that you're losing if you're in the process of dying. The things that are draining out of you when you're in the process of dying. All those things are the components of life. And one of the main components of life is health and strength. Psalm 38:7. There is no health in my body. I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. My strength fails me, and the light has gone from my eyes. So you see, they're losing light out of your eyes is a metaphor that refers to losing strength. Just your life draining out of you. Another main component of life is joy. That one of the most important ones. Joy. One of the main components of life. And so light, very often in Scripture, is used almost as a synonym for joy. In fact, in Esther 8:16, it says, for the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy and gladness and honor. That word translated happiness, it's actually the word light. It was a time of light and joy and gladness and honor. They translated happiness because, obviously, in the context, that's what it means. So light became a synonym for joy. The light of the eyes, Proverbs 15:30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. So light goes along with joy, darkness goes along with sorrow. Job 16:16, my face is red with weeping and darkness covers my eyes. Job 17:7, my eyes have grown dim with grief. My whole frame is but a shadow. Psalm 88:9, my eyes are faint with grief. So light coming into the eyes represents seeing and perception and understanding, and all of that seeing and perception and understanding result in spiritual life and health and joy and strength. See that? And all of that spiritual healthiness and joy and strength, that life in you, brings about righteousness in your life. And so for that reason, very often the word light is used as a metaphor for righteousness. We saw that earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So light there is good deeds. So sometimes light refers to perception. Sometimes light refers to spiritual life and health. Sometimes light refers to righteousness. And it all makes sense because those three things go together. They're so intertwined, they're absolutely inseparable. When you see things as they really are, that increases your spiritual life and health, and that increases your righteousness. See that? It's impossible to look at it from the negative side. It's impossible to have righteousness without having spiritual life and health. And it's impossible to have spiritual life and health without seeing things as they really are. And here's why. God commands. I mean, if you think of what righteousness is, what God wants from us, basically what God commands is that we love good things, that we desire good things, right? That's what righteousness is all about, desiring good things. That's things that are truly excellent, truly beautiful, to love those things. But if you can't see them as beautiful, then you're not going to desire them. If you can't see them as desirable, you won't desire them. You won't love them. It's so important for us to understand, God does not just call us to pray or read the Bible or have fellowship with one another or give generously or worship and or carry out the ministry and the work of the saints. He requires you to want all of that, to desire all that, to love all that. And you're never going to desire and love all those things as wonderful unless you see them as wonderful. You can see how wonderful they are. And so the inability to see things as they really are makes righteousness impossible. Spiritual life impossible. It destroys spiritual life and health. When you can't see things as they really are, you're going to find all the components of life draining out of you. For example, strength. You're not going to have any strength. Instead of being strong and being able to handle big time suffering without any problem, you're going to find yourself weak, so you can hardly handle any kind of suffering. And because you're not going to be able to perceive. You can't see what the truth of what God's Word says about things like the value of this suffering, the promises that come along with this suffering. You can't see the value of what God promises to give you on the other side of the suffering. And so instead of functioning in a really powerful way and effective way in your calling, you're going to limp along with ineffective, unproductive pattern of failure after failure because you can't see the importance of the work. Your eyes are blind to the importance of the work or the rewards connected to it or whatever. You're blinded to something, and so you're not going to be able to have health. You can't see the priorities of God, so you end up spinning your wheels, majoring on the minors and focusing on the unimportant things and neglecting the most important things, and it's going to drain the strength out of you. It's going to drain the joy out of you, and all the other components of life will be drained out, and as a result, your righteousness and obedience of God will diminish and decrease. And that's what Jesus means when he talks about your whole self will be full of darkness. That's what he's talking about. But being full of light, having your whole self full of light, means having a great measure of spiritual life and health, and that will increase your righteousness. Okay? So that's what he means by your whole self full of light, full of darkness. And all of that depends on your eyes, whether your eyes are good or bad.
The definition of insanity is it's a condition where you aren't living in the real world. You see or hear things that aren't there. You're detached from reality. So every time you believe something that isn't true, you have a touch of insanity. The only one who's perfectly sane in the universe is God. So where do you fall on the scale of sanity? Can you think of anything the Bible says is true, but that doesn't seem true to you? You know in your head that it's true, but your desires or emotions aren't on board with that reality. Talk to God for a bit about vestiges of insanity in your heart and ask Him to fill you with light.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.